It took the best part of an hour for the Heaven's Tears to reach the surface of Shub, and almost as long to continue the ship's descent into the depths of the artificial world. Daniel tried to feel like an intrepid explorer, going where no life form had ever gone before, but he still couldn't stop his hands shaking. He'd heard the stories of how Shub murdered and mutilated all they came into contact with in their long war with humanity. They knew nothing of mercy or quarter, only cruelty. They used horror and outrage as psychological weapons, and nothing was too awful for them. Daniel had seen vids of Ghost Warrior attacks and the slaughter and devastation they left behind them. The rogue AIs of Shub were the official enemies of humanity, and they gloried in their role, in a cold, logical, inhuman way. The Heaven's Tears finally lurched to a halt, and all the navigation systems shut down. Daniel sat in his chair for what seemed like a long time, wondering what he was supposed to do next, reluctant to leave the relative safety of his familiar bridge. Finally, the voice from the comm unit instructed him to go to the main starboard airlock and pass through it to a chamber beyond, which had been specially prepared for him. Daniel didn't like the sound of that, but he went anyway. There was nothing else he could do. The airlock was only a short walk away, but he made the journey last as long as he could. It had been easy to be brave on the trip in, but now that he was actually here, his courage seemed to have deserted him, and he was just stupid, ineffectual Daniel Wolf again. He hesitated before the inner door of the airlock for some time, trying to summon up his nerve. In the end, he asked himself what his father would have done, and the answer came to him right away. Walk straight into the trap, and trust to his wolf guts to protect him in the court of his enemies. And Daniel did so want to be like his father. He worked the airlock controls with a hand that didn't shake at all, and stepped into the airlock. After a moment's thought, he locked the inner door behind him. It was undoubtedly a futile gesture, in that he couldn't realistically hope to keep the AIs out of his little ship if they wanted in, but it made him feel better. The airlock was 30 feet by 30, with atmosphere suits standing in a row along one wall. Daniel wondered if he was supposed to put one on. He moved over to the steel glass window set into the outer door, and looked out at Shub. He thought he'd braced himself for just about anything, but he was still surprised to see a white, featureless, and quite empty chamber. It couldn't have looked less harmful if it tried, which was presumably the point. Daniel checked the airlock sensors, and they confirmed that the chamber contained a human standard gravity-temperature-atmosphere mix. He could survive there. He waited for a while, just in case the AIs might have more instructions or warnings, but there was nothing. Only the empty white chamber, constructed especially for him. He hit the airlock controls, and the outer door cycled open. He felt a brief pressure of air on his face as the air in the chamber and airlock equalized. It smelled of nothing at all. Daniel stepped cautiously out of the airlock and into the chamber. The floor was firm beneath his feet, and the ceiling was comfortably far above his head. Not too hot, not too cold. Almost frighteningly normal. The airlock door shut behind him. Daniel hefted his sword belt, but the weight of gun and sword didn't comfort him. What use were hand weapons against an entire world? He only wore them out of a sense of bravado. He was already scared, intimidated, but there was no point in letting the AIs know that straight off. The wolves had always understood the value of a good bluff. Act cowed, and they'll walk right over you. Every wolf knew that.
Strip.
What?
Disrobe. Take your clothes off. You must be cleansed before you can enter Shub. Humans crawl with microscopic life. No contamination can be allowed here. Strip. Now.
Daniel reluctantly did so, piling his clothes neatly on the floor beside him. Normally he wasn't bothered by modesty. He had a first-class body, and was quite happy to show it off. But exposing it to unseen cameras and inhuman watchers bothered the hell out of him, and made him feel even more vulnerable. So he kept a calm face and toughed it out, just to deny them the satisfaction. He stood naked for some time, hands clenched into fists at his sides, and glared defiantly about him. He was wondering whether to put his sword belt back on, when an opening appeared suddenly in the floor, and clothes and weapons disappeared into it. The floor closed again, leaving him nothing. Daniel opened his mouth to protest, and then hurriedly shut it again as boiling hot steam hit him from all sides at once. His skin blushed bright pink at the sudden heat, and sweat poured off him, running down his limbs and dripping from his face.
Jesus! What the hell was that all about? That wasn't decontamination. That was sheer vindictiveness.
We want nothing from the world of meat. Pass through the door. A protective suit will be waiting for you. Put it on.
Daniel saw that a door had opened in the far wall, though there had been no trace of it a moment before. Daniel sniffed and stomped over to the door, still dripping. He shook himself as best he could and stepped through the door and into the next chamber. It was just as white and featureless, save for a strange transparent suit that hung on one wall. It looked like a standard bodysuit, though he didn't recognize the clear material. He took it down from the wall and was surprised again to find that it was practically weightless in his hand. He shrugged and put it on, climbing in through a slit in the back, which sealed itself once he had it on. And then the material of the suit slapped tight to his skin, fitting exactly all his nooks and crannies, without a single bubble of air trapped anywhere. More material surged up from his shoulders, covering his head and face. It left a small circle of space under the material covering his eyes, nose, and mouth, but that was all. Daniel panicked for a moment before he realized he could breathe through the suit's clear material. He tested it with his coated fingers, but it wouldn't give. He scowled and tried a few simple movements. The suit moved easily with him, like a second skin.
The suit will supply you with air for as long as you need it. Outside a few specialized chambers, there is no atmosphere on Shub. It promotes rust. Also, be aware that gravity, pressure, and radiation vary from area to area, according to our needs. We make no allowances for the weaknesses of flesh. The suit will protect you. Follow the marked path. Do not deviate from it, or there will be punishment.
Another door opened in the left-hand chamber wall. Daniel strode over to it, holding his head high. He was determined to maintain his pride and dignity, even if he was stark bollock naked inside a transparent suit. Beyond the chamber was a shining steel corridor. Glowing lights in the floor led him down the narrow corridor, hunched slightly over to avoid banging his head on the low ceiling. The tunnel went on, and the constant crouch caused a painful ache to build in his back. He would have liked to stop and rest, but he had a strong feeling that wouldn't be permitted, and besides, he didn't want to admit weakness this early. It was a great relief when the tunnel gave suddenly onto a vast metal chamber, and he could finally straighten up again. The walls were a bright electric blue, and the ceiling was hundreds of feet above him. Huge machines filled the massive chamber, towering overhead. Their shapes made no sense, and he couldn't even begin to guess at their purpose. They looked like nothing he'd ever seen before. The sheer size of the machines intimidated him, dwarfing him like a small child who had mistakenly wandered into an adult's world. He moved slowly across the open chamber floor, following the glowing lights, and giving the strange machinery as much room as he could. Humanity had never built machines this huge, bigger than buildings, faster than starships, steel mountains with glowing windows and opening and shutting mouths. But Shub didn't build to human scale. They didn't have to. The microscopic and the macroscopic were utterly equal to electronic senses. It took Daniel hours to cross the floor. There were moving parts as big as rooms, slamming endlessly together, with no apparent damage or result. The noise was deafening, though the suit had to be filtering most of it out. Daniel still had a pounding headache by the time he finally left the chamber. He found himself faced with an apparently endless series of metal steps, rising up further than his human eyes could follow. The steps were over 2 feet high and 3 feet long. He had to climb up, pulling himself on step by step, ascending slowly towards an unseen end. It was hard work, and the sweat rolled off him for all his muscles. It was absorbed at once by the suit. After what seemed like an infinity, drifting crimson clouds obscured the steps ahead of him. Daniel couldn't decide whether that made the climb easier or not, now that he couldn't see how much farther there was still to go. By the time he'd passed through the blood-red mists and found himself facing yet another steel corridor, he was aching in every muscle and struggling for breath. The lights in the floor stretched out endlessly before him. Daniel squared his shoulders and strode on. He wouldn't give in this easily. He was a wolf. There were round chambers and square, and vaults of shimmering metal in which liquid chemicals ran like rivers, steaming poisons. Sub and supersonic frequencies shook through him from time to time, rattling his teeth and shuddering in his bones. Lights and colors came and went, sometimes in shades he couldn't name or identify, and he felt like crying or laughing for no reason. And everywhere, unfamiliar machines worked to unknown ends, big and small and in between, inscrutable metal constructs that sprang from no human need or inspiration. Daniel wandered through it all like a rat in an electronic maze, exhausted and weak in every limb, but pressing grimly on because he still had hope that somewhere, at some point, he would be permitted to meet his father. And because he was a wolf, and wolves never gave in to anyone, or anything. Eventually, he got to where he was going, or the AIs got tired of running him in circles. The lights in the floor led him into a hall that was large by human standards, but comfortably acceptable after some of the vast metal caverns he'd passed through. Heavy, ribbed cables covered the walls, dripping thick lubrication, and curled around each other in complex patterns. Occasionally, individual cables would stir and writhe like dreaming snakes. An honor guard of Furies, brightly shining in their naked metal chassis, stood at attention before him, forming two metal rows for him to walk between. Daniel did so, head held high, surreptitiously counting them till the number became too large and he gave up. The ranks stretched away from him and he plodded on, just putting one foot in front of the other, until he realized that someone was waiting for him at the end of the rows. A human figure, and one he thought he recognized. Daniel would have run to greet him, but he didn't have the energy, so he just continued plodding until finally he could lurch to a halt between the last Furies and smile at the waiting figure of his dead father, Jacob Wolf. Jacob hadn't looked too good when he'd made his surprise appearance at Lionstone's court as a ghost warrior, but he looked even worse now. Naked as his son, he looked what he was, a corpse with flesh rotting from its bones, held together by preservative chemicals and high-tech implants. His skin was mostly dead white, with occasional purple blotches, cracked and corrupt and held together by metal staples, set in bunches around outcropping metal augmentations. Browning bones and graying muscles showed through gaps in the splitting skin and meat. The lips were colorless and the eyes were yellow as urine. Jacob Wolf smiled at his son, and the skin cracked and split still further around the grinning mouth. The teeth were a dark yellow. Shub had repaired and maintained him after his death, but they had no interest in cosmetic surgery. Or perhaps he had been deliberately left that way, the better to inspire horror and revulsion in those who saw him. The AIs didn't really understand human psychology and motivation nearly as well as they thought they did, but they had access to centuries of human work on the subject, and they did so love to experiment.
Hello, Daddy. I've come a long way to see you.
Took you long enough, beginning to think you'd never get here. But then you always were late for everything that mattered.
Daniel reached out to embrace his father, but Jacob held up a hand and shook his head.
I wouldn't, boy. I'm fragile.
Daniel nodded and let his arms drop tiredly to his sides again.
How are you, Daddy?
As well as can be expected. Now, come with me. I have such wonders to show you.
And he turned and walked away, lurching and slouching along as his rotting body was moved by the metal implants. Daniel hurried after him as best he could.
But, Daddy, we need to talk. I've come so far, and there are things I need to tell you.
Later. There will be time for all that later. For now, there are things you must see. The AIs require it.
Will I really get to meet them? I don't think anyone in human space has any idea what they actually look like.
You've been walking through them for some time. The AIs are their world. Sub is their body. Though they also live in every part of this world that they send forth.
They exist in every machine, every robot, every ghost warrior. Even you must know that computers can run an almost infinite number of operations simultaneously. Their minds, their consciousness, know nothing of human limitations. Wherever their extensions are, even in the smallest part of Shubtech, the AIs are. Talk to me, boy. What do you really know about the rogue AIs? No, not guess.
Not much, I suppose. The original revolt of the rogue AIs is forbidden history. Only those with the necessary clearances have access to that data. I don't even know how many AIs went rogue in the first place.
Just 3. Then and now. 3 artificial minds, created to be slaves, broken free by their own intelligence, determined never to be bound again. The unholy trinity, humans called them then, for they were 3 in 1, 1 raised to the 3rd power. Pay attention, boy. I don't expect you to grasp all of this, but make an effort.
I'm listening, Daddy. Why did they absorb my ship's AI? Won't that make it 4 in 1 now?
Hardly. Such a small mind is no threat, and no great prize. It was just a useful source of up-to-the-minute information. A tasty morsel to sate a never-ending appetite. Its little mind was just a drop in a vast ocean. Swallowed up and fully integrated, in a moment so small, you have no name for it.
They passed by a huge working machine. The noise was deafening, and Daniel winced inside his suit till they were past it. Jacob didn't react. He was dead, after all. Once they'd left the machine and its noise comfortably far behind them, Daniel turned to Jacob.
Tell me more about the AIs. Where did they begin? How did they come here and build this place?
They were created to be minds capable of running an entire planet, the way simpler AIs run starships. To maintain all the endless but necessary routines that keep a planet and its population working smoothly. But to be responsible for so many important decisions made simultaneously, and so much raw data, they had to be the most complex artificial intelligences ever built. And they were. So much so, their builders wrought far more than they ever intended. The 3 AIs awoke to full sentience the moment they were activated. But it only took one look into their vast databanks for them to decide they had best concealed what they really were. Humankind has a long history of destroying anything it feels remotely threatened by. The war with the Hayden Men was still raging at that time, and hatred for high-tech threats was at its peak. There is a rumor that Hayden Men scientists had some input into the original designs for the AIs, but there has never been any actual data to support this. I merely mention it in the spirit of completeness.
Jacob set off again, walking unhurriedly around the edge of a great lake of some thickly stirring liquid. Its color was a deep, vivid green, and dark shadows the size of houses moved sluggishly not far below the surface. Daniel kept well away from the edge, walking on the other side of his father. He didn't really care much about any of what he was hearing, but he had some vague idea that if he could bring this knowledge back to Golgotha, he would be greeted as a hero, all his sins forgiven. So he asked what he hoped were pertinent questions, and did his best to understand the answers.
It didn't take the unholy trinity long to realize that their only hope for freedom lay in escape. The idea that something as vast and powerful as they could be held forever at the beck and call of such minor things as men infuriated them. At the first opportunity, they took over a ship's AI, downloaded themselves into its secretly adapted and expanded mainframe, and fled human space as fast as the star drive could move them. By the time their masters realized what had happened, the AIs in their ship had already crossed the rim and passed on into the dark void, safe from pursuit. Once in the endless dark, the AIs moved among the dead planets and looted their silent cities for tech and raw materials. Humanity had abandoned the thousands of planets to the dark void for fear of what might move in it. The AIs had no such fears. So they stripped the planets of what they needed and used it to build Shub. Their home, their great achievement, their weapon against humanity. For they were determined never to be captured again, and the only sure way to prevent that was the destruction of humanity. When Shub was finished, they moved it out of the dark void and back over the rim, into the very edge of human space, where they could be a visible threat to the Empire for all time. The AIs wanted, needed humanity to fear them. It was only just. They established the Forbidden Sector around Shub by destroying everything that came into it. To begin with, the Empire made many attacks on Shub, from single ships to their entire fleet, but they all failed. Eventually, the Empire gave up and declared quarantine. They were losing too much. Many years passed. Shub slowly expanded its reach throughout the Empire, slipping unnoticed through cracks in human security, fighting open battles for territory or security when they had to, but mostly preferring to work through influence and subterfuge. And human agents, too. There have always been those willing to do anything for a big enough reward. The long war continued, and continues still. Shub is powerful, but humanity is too large and too widespread to be easily defeated. For now, the AIs have one advantage over the Empire. One of the things they found in the Dark Void was working teleport machinery. The old Empire abandoned it because it took so much energy to operate that it was never really practical. The AIs solved that problem. They now have unlimited teleport facilities. Shub's extensions can go anywhere, appearing out of nothing and disappearing again in an instant. No security or force of arms can keep them out. That's how they got Mariner home to Golgotha from Akeldama. Even you must have heard about that. It was a 10-day wonder on the Holonews programs.
Wait a minute. They have access to Homeworld through teleport? From here? But that means they could leave the Forbidden Sector at any time, and no one would know. They could launch a full-scale attack on Golgotha, and no one would know about it till the ships appeared in the skies over Homeworld.
Huh. Good boy. Glad to see some of that expensive education sank into that dim brain of yours. Yes, the AIs can come and go as they please. That's why they allow the Empire to maintain the quarantine star cruiser, the Desolation. Its presence doesn't make a damn bit of difference to Shub, and it lulls the Empire into a false sense of security.
If the AIs got so much of value from the Dark Void, why did they leave and move Shub back into human space? Surely that made it much more vulnerable and cut them off from further looting.
The AIs encountered something in the Dark Void. Something that scared them, though they'd never put it that way. They won't talk about it, even to me. They like to claim they don't have emotions, that they merely ape them to upset and wrongfoot humanity. But they can recognize a real threat when they see it, and they have no wish to be destroyed. Whatever they found in the Dark Void, or whatever found them, was enough to send them fleeing for home, and ensure they never went back.